You may be seated. Well, good morning. It's a beautiful day. Wonderful to see you all here this morning, where we're supposed to be, here in God's presence, worshiping Him together as brothers and sisters in Christ. So, a few announcements I need to go over before we go on with our service. We have Mission Fest coming up. That's 2 weeks from today. We're excited to have Tim Wendt. He'll be with us. A lot of you know, but not all. Tim was an inmate down at Springfield for actually about 19 years, I believe it was. And he really grew in his faith in Christ through that time. He became a leader actually down there with the ministry that we do, Ron Schaefer and others, do down in the prison. We actually, as our church and others, helped him to get his degree through Moody Bible Institute. His ministerial degree, and then also a counseling degree through another Christian college. So he's been out for 3 years, would you say? About 3 years, and he is in the ministry in Sioux Falls with this Kingdom Boundaries Prison Aftercare, which that's an amazing ministry. They help the inmates that are getting released from prison, where they, you know, it's not just, oh, you're free to go, and then where do they go, you know? So this is a place to help get them on their feet, place for them to be, to stay, and work with them still with the temptations or addictions, whatever it might be. So it's a wonderful ministry. He's going to be here at Mission Fest. We'll have potluck dinner that day after church. You see the offering, how it's going. I don't know if you read the note or not, but there's an anonymous donor that's willing to match gifts. If the gifts are over $1,000, the donor will match those gifts up to $5,000, all right? So just to let you know, any gift is awesome, all right? This is just a special challenge, so be praying about that in the next 2 weeks, all right? The day before that, we have our men's event on the Saturday night, the 29th of October, and Justin Plooster is going to be our speaker this year, so we're excited about that. Justin has coordinated this for the last 5 years, and so this time he's going to be our guest speaker. There's a sign-up sheet for that in the narthex that helps to know how much food to prepare, okay? So you're all welcome. Certainly you want to bring your teenage or middle school age sons. You can bring them along too. The food pantry, make sure you know about that. Next week would be the last Sunday to bring your items for the food pantry over in Freeman. Christmas Eve program. You might be like, really? Yes, really. It takes time to get this together. Thanks to Emily Guth-Miller, who's going to be our director this year. So she needs to know if your children are not going to be here on Christmas Eve, she needs to know that. Because she's working on that already. So please have the courtesy to do that. One other thing, we're going to have a prayer box out in the narthex. It's actually going to be on the information cabinet. One of those little slots, there's a cardboard piece of paper over it. It'll say prayer box. There'll be some pieces of paper. We've talked about this for a while, and maybe there's times where you have special prayer requests that you would like to give. Maybe you don't want to say them publicly. So you can write on that. Put it in that little box. You can put your name on it if you want. If you don't want to, you don't have to. And in our Thursday prayer time and early Sunday morning prayer time, we'll pray over those requests. All right? Last thing, bold print there on the insert. If you haven't registered to vote, you have until October 24th to do so. Do so, please. We are in a Christian nation. That's the founding of our nation. That is our right and privilege. Someone was telling me just the other day in communist China that if you are not a member of the Communist Party, you cannot vote. And that party is only a small fraction of the percent of that entire population of that nation. And, of course, to get in that Communist Party, you are so indoctrinated that that's the only way you're going to vote for them, of course. So we are blessed to have freedom of elections here in our nation, and especially in these midterm elections, it always amazes me, the low turnout. Let's show the biggest turnout Hutchinson County could have, or whatever county you're in. We have Yankton County here, too, and Bonhomme and others. But let's have a giant turnout. That's our duty to do that. I've been challenging the seniors in Sunday school. If you're 18, register to vote. When I turned 18, that was an exciting day in my life. Honestly, I went right down there, registered to vote. So that's my sermon on voting, all right? Get the picture? Okay. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do love you, and we love to be able to gather in this sanctuary. It's one of the highlights of our week, just seeing our brothers and sisters in Christ coming together to fellowship with each other, but most of all, to fellowship with you and to worship you in spirit and in truth with all of our being, spirit, soul, and body. As we've just sung that beautiful chorus, Lord, we stand in awe of you, of your power and your holiness and of your majesty and your glory. And we thank you for that privilege. And as always, we ask that you would fill this sanctuary with your power and your wonderful presence. Lord, our prayer is, as Moses said to you when you said you weren't going to go with them anymore and the people of Israel. And he said, Lord, if you're not going with us, we're not moving anywhere. Because what else is it? Who else is it that would separate us from all the other peoples on earth except for you, Lord God, and your presence? And that is true. That is true for us today. So thank you for your manifested presence in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Our first hymn is number 65 in your hymnals. 65, stand up and bless the Lord. So we're singing verses 1, 2, 4, and 5. If you want to stand, please. So we do. We bless his name. Take a moment and greet those around you, please, before you are seated. Good morning, Nathan. All right, we will have our, joys, sharing of joys and concerns. A couple things here that I have down. We've been praying for Darlene Gehring. If you're on the prayer chain, you know she was taken to the hospital in Scotland first Wednesday morning, then won't go into all the details, but eventually airlifted to the heart hospital where they had to do a lot of tests, found out her heart is great, so that's a praise the Lord, but the gallbladder was very bad, filled with stones, inflamed, so they were able to do surgery yesterday, about noonish, to remove that, and I think she's coming home, possibly coming home today. I think they were able to do that laparoscopically, the gallbladder. Okay, yeah, okay. All right, so continued prayers for her healing. Also, Jeff and Linda Nuss's daughter, Jill Mettler, her surgery related to her cancer, it is tomorrow, so be praying for her. They live up in the Twin City area there, her and her husband Matt and their three children. Well, their one daughter, which is the one that's done the mission work? Huh? Hannah? Okay. Yeah, I think so. Yes, so prayers for Jill and family. Also continued prayers for Ken Winterstein. He did start his treatments this past week, Thursday, I believe it was. So prayers for him and Lynn. Marith Herbolt. So Marith is Cheryl Dubbs, her brother, and David Herbolt, their older brother. He lives in Michigan. I think he is the oldest of the kids, right, Cheryl? No. Tom was. Okay, thank you. So Marith's son Keith passed away unexpectedly last week. He was 52, I believe, up in Michigan. So prayers for the family. Difficult time there. Otherwise, anything else over here on this side? Yes. Corwin Schaefer, happy birthday. Today, 12? 17. 12 and thinking like he's 17. Is that what you mean? Okay. Well, start giving him money for college then. Anybody else over here? Okay, good to see Caden here with two of his college roommates and Austin back home too. Awesome, welcome. Okay, Andrew. Your grandma, Joanne Nuss's birthday was last Friday. Happy birthday, Joanne. Thank you, Andrew, she says. Okay, anybody else? Yeah, Callie. This coming Saturday? Katie Huber's birthday is this coming Saturday. Was it a, is that what you were doing? A number 4 with a 0 after it? Okay, thank you. Happy birthday. Yes, Cassie. And Valerie Willinga's birthday is Friday. How old are you going to be? 9. I had to make sure on that. And what? Oh, her birthday cake is a chicken. All right. Thank you, Lillian. I hope I get a piece. Is that Hayden? Okay. Hayden Dangle's birthday is coming up on Thursday. And your grandma's. All right. Happy birthday to both of you. Okay, lots of birthdays. All right, let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time, sharing our joys and our prayer concerns and the chicken birthday cake. That's the best of all, Lord. Bless these individuals. We thank you for all of them and their lives and how they touch us in special ways. Father, we pray for Willard and Darlene Gehring. Thank you that they were able to find out what was going on here and causing the problem and remove that gallbladder. We just pray now for your healing power to continue to work in this time of recovery, that her strength is renewed more and more each and every day, and that maybe she comes home today, which would be wonderful. Thank you for her family that I know is very involved in her care. We lift up Jill Mettler and her husband Matt with Jill's surgery tomorrow, related to that cancer that she's battling. We pray that that goes well and trust that this will be a big step forward in her life. Thank you for Ken Winterstein as he started his treatments. We pray for Kenny and Lynn and ask for your guidance in their lives each step of the way, for your healing power working mightily through his body. And Lord, there's many others in our midst in that same battle. Jan Nebelsek, we pray for Stan Hofs and Jennifer Byerly and these different ones listed in our bulletin. We lift them all before you. We thank you for Mary Lee that she's back with us this morning and recovering from her back surgery. And it's a joy to have her here, and we thank you for your continued renewed strength through her body each and every day. And many more, Lord, that we all know of people who are in need of your healing touch. We pray for Meredith Herbolt and his wife Judy out there in Michigan, a very unexpected passing of their son, Keith, and we just lift them up to you and ask for the comfort of your spirit, Lord, today, through this coming week, and in the months to come, as that's a difficult place to be in. But we thank you, Father, that you are the God of all comfort, as your word says, and you comfort us in these times. So thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, as we pray for our nation. Daily, we lift our nation to you, and we thank you for where we live. We are truly and incredibly blessed beyond measure in so many ways. And Father, we're thankful for your blessings, but we need your healing, Lord. We need revival across this land for hearts and minds and lives to be turned to you and to your living word, where there is true life and hope. We pray for our troops that serve so faithfully here at home and around the world, giving up their lives, many cases being separated from their families. Keep them safe, and we thank you for their service. Lord, right here in our local community, the firemen and the first responders, they've been extra busy here with the dryness and the windy conditions. We thank you for them, that they go to help in a moment's notice. Thank you for them giving of their lives in that way, and we pray that you keep them safe. And through the remainder of the harvest season, we ask the same for all that are helping to bring that in, working with the big equipment. Watch over them, please, Lord. We thank you for these things. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to read from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 12. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? We're going to look more into that with the verses in Ephesians during our sermon. But let's stand, we'll sing the doxology together. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Father, we do praise you and worship you for your goodness, your blessings in such amazing ways, blessings of strength and life and health that even allows us to be able to go to work each and every day. We're thankful for that, for those ways that you provide for us and for the unexpected ways that you pour out your blessings, Father, so that we are able to give for your work and your ministry through this local church, through many other mission projects that work across the planet, proclaiming the message of Jesus Christ that you are Lord of all. So thank you for these things. Help us always to be cheerful givers. It is truly a privilege to do so. And we ask that you bless and multiply the gifts that are given today in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray together the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. If the children want to come, please, for the Kingdom Kids time.
Come on up. Just have a seat anywhere you want. Well, good morning, boys and girls. Anybody awake here? Good morning.
Good morning.
There you go. That's a little bit better. How are you today?
Good,
good, good. Well, today I brought a what? An apple. And you know, this is pretty ordinary, an apple. How many of you eat apples? About everybody does, right? Nothing special, but you know what? I have chosen this apple, and I'm going to make it into a delicious apple pie. I'm going to peel it and chop it and mix it with all cinnamon and sugar and put it in a pie crust. I have chosen this apple for a special purpose, to be apple pie. Now, I have another apple over here, and I chose this one to dip in caramel. And put what on it? Roll it in nuts. Have you ever had caramel apple, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, boy. It's not ordinary. Yeah, and it's really sweet, isn't it? Okay, now I chose another apple, and I'm just going to eat it, right? Don't we just often just eat the apples? Yeah, but these two, they're not ordinary because they have a special, I have a special purpose for those. I'll just stick them right there. Well, do you know what, boys and girls? God has a special purpose for each of you and for each of us. He has chosen us. He has a plan for us. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, I'm just going to read you these things that God tells us. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. What has he done? Blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And he has chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. He chose us before we were even born. Isn't that really neat to know that we are so special to God? He loves us. He's chosen us. He's given us an inheritance of heaven, so when we leave this earth, we're going to get to live where? Heaven forever. That is really awesome. So, but what do you think God wants us to do in the meantime while we're waiting? What does he want us to do? Help others. That is really good. He's wanting us to help others. What else? To obey him. And you know, one of the best ways to obey God is to obey our parents. To obey our parents. Listen. Listen is really good. Listen to God as we read the Bible. Listen to our parents. Listen to our teachers. What?
Have fun.
Have fun. He wants us to have fun and be happy, right? What? Not quite sure. Yeah. He wants us to, what? What?
Go to church.
Go to church. Come to church. And you all are amazing because you are all here in church. And you went to Sunday school, and now you're right up here. Well, he has a plan for us. And you know what the other plan is? For us to tell others about him. Because it says in John 3:16, God loved the world and he wants everyone to be saved, right? So we could share about him with our friends, maybe with somebody in our class that doesn't know him. We could invite them to church. We could pray for them. But all those things you guys said before is so important. We can help those. Because when you do these things, when you, what God said, be holy and blameless, when you do the right thing, not just at church, okay? This is a small amount of your time. We're talking every single day that we should be the same. We should desire to do what God wants us to do. Be kind to others, okay? All right, so I want you to pray this after me, and then I'll tell you what's next. Thank you, God, for your many blessings. Thank you for choosing us and adopting us. And creating us with purpose. Help me to follow you. Help me to know your plans. Thank you for your love. I love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, well, I just so happen to have an apple for everybody here. So you cannot, don't eat them in church, okay? Because they'll be really messy. Take one and take it home. And I know some of them are going to have bruises and stuff, so just eat around it. There's one. Take one and go get your papers.
Okay, thank you, Anne. Let's sing number 118, 118, while the children are going back to their seats. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord, He is the mighty King, Maker of everything. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. He's the great Shepherd, the Rock of all ages, Almighty God is He. Let's bow our heads once more, please. Thank you, Father, for the name of Jesus Christ, the name that is above every name, that as your word says, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And Father, as we draw in here, as we gather in here, we are pleased and honored to praise the name of Jesus. And thank you for giving us the name of Jesus Christ to use in prayer. That your word tells us even the demons tremble at that name for all the power and authority that is invested in your name, Jesus. And your word, as we look into it now, speak to us by your Spirit, and I ask you to speak through me by the Spirit of the living God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter 3 is where we're at today, starting in verse 14. Ephesians chapter 3, this is, the fifth or sixth Sunday where we've been working on this series, simply, God is able. God is able. And so each Sunday we found a different passage of Scripture in the New Testament that tells us that. Incredible things that God does in our lives. So I'm not going through the first four because then I wouldn't get time for today's message. Verse 14, Ephesians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul writing, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now unto him who is able," there's our phrase, verse 20, "now unto him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Amen. So beautiful passage there. This is a prayer for the church of Ephesus at that time. This is a prayer divinely inspired for the church today. Wherever we are at throughout the ages, there's been, it was many years ago, we worked through this prayer. We took probably about four or five Sundays on it. Today I'm going to try and squeeze it into one Sunday. But there's much involved here. God wants his church to be walking in his power, through his power, the power of the Holy Spirit that's working in us. That's what he wants for his church today. We are his ambassadors on the earth. We know that. His representatives. And if we're not letting him flow through us, then how are the people supposed to see him? He works through his church. And so in this prayer, he's given basically five steps of how this is supposed to happen. The end result is verse 20 there. "To him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us." That's the end result. In verse 20, but how do we get to that point? Those are the steps that we're going to look at. Steps to walking in God's divine power. So first of all, if you're filling in your outline, it's there in your bulletin insert. The first part of the prayer is for inner strength. Strength within, verse 16. What does he say? "I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit," capital S, so the Holy Spirit, "through his Spirit in your inner being." We could say in your spirit, lowercase s, right? We know that. We all should know that. We are a three-part being, spirit, soul, and body. It's brought out in Scripture. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23 says it. Paul, "I pray that you would be sanctified entirely, spirit, soul, and body." Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, the night before the cross, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14, verse 32. He's praying there. What does he say? You'll see the three parts. Praying to the Father, "My soul." Soul is the realm of our mind, our emotions. That's our soulish realm. Yeah, sometimes it is tied in with our spirit, but he distinguishes here in Mark 14. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow, even to the point of death." All right? He was in that soulish, mental, emotional realm. He knew in his physical body what was coming through that night and the next day was not going to be pleasant. But he knew he had to do it, and he wanted to do it for all of us. So he goes, Peter, James, and John there praying. He's further in, comes back to them. We know they're sleeping, right? He wakes them up. "Couldn't you pray for 1 hour? Wake up," I'm paraphrasing. He said, what does he say then? "The Spirit," small s, "the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So you got the soul. Jesus, his soul is overwhelmed with sorrow. He's telling them, you guys, yeah, in your spirit, that's where the Holy Spirit lives within us, is willing, always willing to pray, always willing to worship, always, because God is living within. But the flesh, this physical body, is weak. Weak in wanting to follow God's plan, but in itself and its desires is very strong. We all know that. I've talked to you about that many times over the years. But so the prayer is that we would be strengthened with power, and that word power in the Greek is dunamis, which is miracle-working power. He wants us strengthened with this miracle power in our inner being, in our spirit being. Step number one. We often, as people, we all do it, we put so much focus and attention on the outer self. You all look so nice this morning as you took time to get ready for church and did your hair, those who have hair, and ironed and whatever you did to get ready, right? You got yourself prepared, as it should be, to come together and worship the Lord. But what about our inner self? That's who we really are in Christ. Who we are within that needs to show up on the outside. If we're weak on the inside, we're going to always be frustrated and struggling with the lusts of the flesh on the outward man or woman, whichever the case may be. But as we're strengthened, as the prayer is, in our inner self, then guess what? We're strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. So you got ready this morning and you're here, praise the Lord. And now what are we doing? We're feeding our innermost being with the Word of God, looking through it. In Sunday school, a lot of you were fed there, the Word of God. And now again, and we have to be fed throughout the week. Because none of us, I don't imagine, will go until next Sunday without feeding our physical bodies, will we? We won't even go a day, probably, without feeding our physical bodies. So we should not go a day without feeding our spirit being on the inside with His Word. So, steps to walking in this divine power that verse 20 is getting to. First, our inner self strengthened. Second, through the indwelling Christ. Christ dwelling within. That's verse 17, the first part of it. Let me read verse 16 again. I pray that out of His glorious riches, is there any lack of the riches of heaven? There is no lack, right? So that's not the problem at all. Out of His glorious riches, He would strengthen you with power, dunamis power, in your inner being. And verse 17 says, why? So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. So this is not talking about salvation, because that in this context of these verses, that has already happened. We have already been saved, okay? He is living in us. So this is something different when He says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That word dwell, in the Greek, it's talking about to settle down permanently within your heart. The question would be, for all of us, so is Jesus comfortable living within you by His Spirit? You don't have to answer that. More specifically, yes, we are all sinners. I realize that. But is He comfortable going everywhere we go? Just something to think about. Let's think about moving into a new home. There's been a lot of new people moving in and out of Menno, actually, this summer and fall. Some of you have moved recently. Some of you have been in your house for forever, right? But when you are moving, you're pretty unsettled because you're thinking of the time you got that day when you have to be out of that house. And so for whatever months before, you're packing and you're cleaning and you're doing all these things, and things are just unsettled in your home physically. And then when you get into your new home, It's still that way for a while. You have to do all the unpacking and get everything in its place, right? And trying to accomplish it all. And you just say, I just want to get everything unpacked so we can get what? Settled in and relax. We often use that phrase. Well, that's what this is talking about. Jesus just wants to settle in our hearts and our lives and be Lord, Lord of all, because the Lordship of Christ, if we say, yes, Jesus, you are my Lord, the Lordship of Christ extends to every part of our lives, not just Sunday morning when we're sitting here, but every day of the week, he wants to be Lord. And we endeavor for him to be such with the help of his Spirit. All right, third, goes on. We got to be established in love then. For this power to be working so abundantly, established in love. Verse 17 going on. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, there's the phrase, may what? May have power, there's that word again, together with all the saints, all the believers, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. All right, let's talk about first the root system. The root system. I want you, he's praying for his church, to be rooted and grounded, established in the love of God. That's what he wants. Because, you know, whatever we're rooted and grounded in, that's who's going to dominate our actions and our words. If we are rooted and grounded in the love of God, that's who's going to dominate what comes out of this mouth, what we do with these physical bodies. The love of God will dominate. So as we come to know Christ as Lord and Savior, it takes time. It's actually a lifetime of growing, of getting rooted and grounded in him and in his word. When we're first coming to know Christ and learning, I mean, it can be tough. For a lot of you though who've been here all the years as we have, you've heard this example before, but many haven't. When Ann and I first got married out there on the Navajo Reservation, northern Arizona, high desert, no trees, zero, in this large valley where we lived in the community. So with some of the money we got for our wedding, we bought 3 desert pine trees. Did we get those in Flagstaff, or was it, I suppose, Flagstaff? I don't think we hauled them back from Phoenix. But anyway, 3 desert pine trees, because we wanted trees around our trailer. Planted them different sides around, started watering them every day, because we had to. Every time, whoever watered them, we prayed over them. Lord, let your life work in these trees so they grow to strong, healthy trees. So you know what? Right off the bat, 2 of the 3 just took off. Green, growing, growing, growing. And the third one, nothing. Nothing. And as end of the first year, the top is green, top maybe third, the bottom brown, getting browner by the year. We still kept watering it, praying over it. These 2 got rooted and established right away. That third one didn't, took time. We didn't give up on it, kept praying for it. You pray for your trees, yeah. I guess we should been praying for our trees at the parsonage here more than we have. I thought, you know, we lost that locust tree about 2 summers ago on the south side. That beautiful linden tree in the front corner, the top third died after the 2012 drought, and now if you look at it when you leave church, there's another big part that's dying in it. And I'm like, oh, we're losing the trees in the parsonage. At the parsonage, not in the parsonage. Anyway, so my point is, it takes time for the love of God to be rooted and established in our lives. The love of God, because the Romans 12 says, the love of God has been poured out in your heart by the Holy Spirit. So it's there. It is there. But it's a fruit of the Spirit, so we have to grow. Walking in love, the love of God for believers, should be a natural response. It should be. So let me ask you this. What's easier? I think you all know, it's pretty obvious. Breathing or holding your breath? Well, breathing, right? Any of you get up this morning and say, oh, I better start breathing? No, you never did that. It's effortless. It's part of who you are. But to hold your breath, okay, everybody hold your breath for 5 minutes. No, don't, or we'll have to get the oxygen tank out of my office to revive you all. No, that's a struggle, isn't it? So as we are rooted and grounded in his love, then that becomes a natural response. It should permeate our actions. All right, let's go to the dimensions real quick, and then we got to move on. So he gives these dimensions of his love, how long, how high, how deep, how wide. Here's something to think about with each of those. That's pretty cool. I'm not going to read all the verses, but if you read through the epistle to the Ephesians, just that, where we're at, you could find these points, all right, through the scriptures. How wide? It's wide enough to include both Jew and Gentile. That'd be chapter 2 of Ephesians. That was a shocker to the church, the early church. So those Jewish people who were coming to Christ, they had a hard time with that. You mean, this is for the Gentiles too? Yeah, God's love is that wide. How long is his love? From eternity past to eternity future. How do you get that? Chapter 1 of Ephesians verse 4 says, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world. That's eternity past. Chapter 2, verse 7, in order that in the coming ages, that's going to eternity future. All right? How high? How high is his love? Chapter 2, verse 6, his love reaches to the heavenly realms. There is no limit to his love. And I think read this with the kids, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. How deep is his love? It reaches to the depths of sin. That's how deep his love goes. Chapter 2, God who is rich in mercy made us alive in Christ even when we were dead in our transgressions and our sins. We got to grasp that, and the Holy Spirit helps us to. Letter D, going on. He wants us then next to be filled with the fullness of God. With all of his fullness, verse 19, he says, I'm praying that you would know this love that surpasses knowledge. In other words, natural knowledge. Our minds, it's hard to comprehend the love of God that is so incredible. That you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Who or what are you filled with? We are filled with the Holy Spirit, number one, and should be. Now, I have to tell you, I had a big birthday in June, and it wasn't my 40th. It wasn't my 50th. Yes, it was 10 years past. So one of the cards I received, I had quite a chuckle out of this one from someone in the church. Who's here this morning that I won't mention? There's a police officer pulling over a vehicle as he comes out. I know you probably can't see it. There's a minister in that car with his clerical collar upon. So the officer says, Reverend, have you been drinking? The minister says, just water, officer. The policeman says, then why do I smell wine? The minister says, good Lord, he's done it again. Have a miraculous birthday. Turn the water into wine. What are you filled with? Hopefully not that. Because as Ephesians 5:18 says, don't get drunk with wine, which is debauchery, wild living, that word means. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. So his prayer is that we, as his church, would be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. In other words, filled to overflowing with all that he is, filling us as full as we can be full of him. And then guess what? He becomes dominant. It's less of self and more of him, and we walk in that. So each of these is one step on another, internal power to the indwelling Christ, to being established in love, to being filled with the fullness of God, and lastly, internal power. Verse 20. Now unto him, I'll read it again, who is able to do. Say, God is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us. That I have a lot of favorite verses, and that is one of them. I pray that to the Lord so many times. Lord, you are able, you are able, you are able in this situation. And he does in incredible ways. And he wants to do that through his church, the believers across this planet. He wants to do that. And he will do amazing things in you, through you, for others that you come in contact with. I was just, what day was it? Friday afternoon. We had our nephew got married yesterday, so we were up Friday night to Sioux Falls for rehearsal supper. Went by the hospital first to see Darlene, get in the elevator, and had my Bible with me, and a lady follows me in, and right away, tears start coming down her eyes. She said, "Are you a chaplain?" I said, "Well, I'm a pastor. I'm not a chaplain here at the hospital." I said, "Why? Do you need prayer?" "Yes, and my husband needs a liver transplant. He's been here. I just came from Rapid City. I just got word he's gone into a coma. Things don't look good." I said, "Yeah, let's step out of the elevator." She was going to second floor. I was on first. "Let's just step out here and go down the hall and let's pray together." And so we did. So I was on a time limit. I felt bad about that because I knew I had just this amount of time with Darlene and Willard, and then I had to get over to the church where the rest of the stuff was happening. And so I don't know what God has done, but God knows. God knows, and we lift it up to him. So you never know when something like that's going to happen. We just be ready. Be ready. "Well, I don't know how to pray." It doesn't have to be anything fancy. You just pray as you're talking to the Lord and take that person's hands. I said, "Can I put your hand on my hand on your shoulder?" You know, you got to ask that these days. Got to be careful. "Yes, please," she said. So his power. We prayed for a miracle. Whether that happens on this earth or whether that happens in heaven, I don't know that I'll ever know till maybe I get to heaven and meet that man. Only God knows. Why all this power? So we can say, "Oh, look what I've done. You know what I did?" No, no, no. Not at all. The last verse says, "To him, Jesus, be glory in the church." He is the head of the church. He is the head of this local church. He is the head of the church universal. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. And so who gets the glory? God gets the glory. Let's pray. Father, this is our prayer. This is our prayer for this local church. This is our prayer for the church on planet Earth today, that we would walk in this. Lord, that people in this lost world in which we live would see you shining brightly through our lives. Lord, that they would see your power in demonstration in countless ways, that you would fill us to overflowing with your Spirit, that we would be rooted and established and grounded in your love, Father, filled with all of your fullness and overflowing. Because we know, the verse 20, we have no doubt that you are able to do far beyond whatever we can ask or imagine. So let your power flow through us. We say, Jesus, we are available. We are available. And help us to watch for those opportunities. Give us courage and boldness when things come up, just like in the elevator the other day. Thank you for this church and all who are here today. Help us to shine as lights as we in this crooked and depraved generation, as your word says, as we hold out the word of truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, number 235, the closing hymn. So take the name of Jesus with you. That's the closing hymn. It's all in his name. It's all about him and his power. Let's stand as we sing this, please. Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then where you go. Precious name, oh my sweet hope of joy. Please receive the benediction. And now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. As a prayer for our nation, we'll sing God Bless America.
From the mountains to the prairies.
You may be seated. Have a wonderful day, high school youth. They should all know we have youth meeting right after church here. The rest, have a wonderful day. Thank you.